Beloved Bhagwan, Tankas, have you had your dinner? Tanka asked a monk, "Where are you from?" The monk replied, "From the foot of the mountain." Tanka said, "Have you had your dinner?" The monk said, "I have had it." Tanka said, "Is he open-eyed who brings food to a fellow like you and lets you eat it?" The monk could make no reply. Later, Chokai asked Hofuku, "To give food to others is surely worthy. How could he fail to be open-eyed?" Hofuku said, "Both giver and receiver are blind." Chokai said, "Are you still blind, even though you exhaust every means?" Hofuku said, "How can you call me blind?" Setcho's comment is, "Exhaust every means and you will not be blind. You hold the cow's head to let it graze. The four sevens, the two threes, the following band have handed down the Dharma treasure, raising dust and trouble to make men drown on land." Book one. It seems to me that Zen evokes responses from one's intuition, though I'm not even quite sure what intuition is. Is there a connection between Zen and intuition? And the second question, I have heard that Gurdjieff used to serve up food to his disciples and watch them overeat and become drunk in response. You are serving up such delicacies in these evenings. It feels as if we need to refine our palates and select the right implements before we can hope to savor what you make available.
The anecdotes concerning Tanka's asking a monk, "Have you had your dinner?" is a way in Zen to ask someone, "Have you got it?" Are you fulfilled? Has contentment happened to you? Are you awakened? Is your being enlightened? Zen uses ordinary words like dinner and raises them to heights unimaginable. Tanka asked a monk, "Where are you from? Have you had your dinner?" insane. You are coming from nowhere and you are going to nowhere. You are just now here, neither coming nor going. Everything passes by you, your consciousness reflects it, but it does not get identified. When a lion roars in front of a mirror, do you think the mirror roars? Or when the lion is gone and a child comes dancing, the mirror completely forgets about the lion and starts dancing with the child. Do you think the mirror dances with the child? Mirror does nothing. It simply reflects. Your consciousness is only a mirror. Neither you come nor you go. Things come and go. You become young, you become old, you are alive, you are dead. All these states are simply reflections in an eternal pool of consciousness. Unless you understand it, these anecdotes will look absolutely absurd. First, asking him, have you had your dinner? If you met Tanka, and Tanka is one of the rare Zen masters, what you will answer to him, you will not even understand what he means by dinner. Zen has developed a special language of its own. Have you had your dinner? The monk remained silent. Perhaps he could not understand, what does he mean? Is he asking me, inviting me for a dinner? What kind of inquiry, when you meet someone, suddenly the first question, have you had your dinner? Seeing the monk is silent, Tanka asks, where are you from? Is another effort of Tanka provoking the man to understand the language? Where are you from? The monk replied, from the foot of the mountain. He missed. He is not asking about the place from where you are coming. He is asking the ultimate question, from where is your consciousness coming? Do you understand that you are endless, you are not coming from anywhere? You simply are. Tanka said, have you had your dinner again? Second time Tanka is asking to give another opportunity to understand that dinner does not mean dinner, it simply means, are you fulfilled? Are you complete in yourself? Have you found your center? Are you nourished by existence? Have you found your home? The monk said, I have had it. The poor fellow still is thinking about dinners. But out of his great compassion, for which he is known, Tanka said, is he open-eyed who brings food to a fellow like you and lets you eat it? Encountering a Zen master means encountering a lion. He will hit you from this side and that side, from this point and that point. Now, asking the monk, is he open-eyed? Is he an awakened person? Is he enlightened who brings food to you? Have you got a master who nourishes you? But a strange language, and strange were those days, and strange were those people. Is he open-eyed who brings food to a fellow like you and lets you eat it? The monk could make no reply. He could not understand what is going on. Now he is completely puzzled and confused. All this talk about dinner seems to be about something else. Later, Chokei asked Hopfoku to give food to others is surely worthy. How could he fail to be open-eyed? An ordinary understanding is that to give food to those who are hungry, to feed them, is a virtuous act. Obviously, such a virtuous act can be done only by one who is awakened. At this point, the Catholics and other Christians will certainly agree with Chokei, who is saying to give food to others is surely worthy. How could he fail to be open-eyed? In such ordinary statements, so much is hidden. It is possible for you to feed the hungry and yet not be awakened. You can feed hungry for reasons of your own. Most probably it is because of greed. Greed for heaven, for heavenly pleasures. If you can accumulate enough virtue, you will be received by God. And if you are not virtuous, a sinner, the hell fire is waiting for you, in which you will be thrown for eternity. There is no rescue. Ordinary morality will agree with Chokei. But anyone who understands the meaning of inner awakening knows it perfectly well, that to feed someone does not mean a virtuous act. Because it is coming out of unconsciousness, out of greed, out of certain motivation, certain ambition, certain fear, how you can be called an awakened person? The awakened also feeds, but not because of any profit to be gained here or hereafter. The awakened also feeds not only the body but the soul out of pure compassion. Never expecting anything in return. Hofuku said, both giver and receiver are blind. These are great dialogues between great people. Chukai himself is enlightened. You must not understand that his asking, how could such a man fail to be open-eyed who feeds others? This is a net thrown to catch Hofuku. If Hofuku said, yes, you are right, he had missed the point. But Hofuku stands on the same ground as Chokei. He makes the statement, both giver and receiver are blind. To think that I am giving is ego-centered, and to think that I am receiving is also ego-centered. There is no difference, both are blind. Chokei said, are you still blind? Even though you exhaust every means? Hofuku said, how can you call me blind? Before we think about Secho's comments, something more about Tanaka has to be understood. Because this dialogue is about Tanaka asking a monk, have you had your dinner? And from where are you coming? Who is this fellow Tanaka? He stands as high as any enlightened person has risen ever. And with a uniqueness of his own. Tanaka was a contemporary of Nansen. Ryutan, Hokoji, and Yaku-san, all great masters, but none of them had the extraordinary quality of Tanaka. He first studied Zen with Basho. Just to study with Basho is enough to give you a new way of seeing things. Just to be sit by his side is enough to make you unique. Basho is one of the great awakened ones. In the history of Japan, Basho stands just as in the history of India, Gautam Buddha stands. The same height, the same peak, and something more. Basu was also a mystic, a poet, a painter, the very fact that he accepted Tanaka as his disciple is in itself a certificate of uniqueness. Basu was not for the masses. He was only for the chosen few. And then, at Basu's suggestion, went to Sekito. Sekito was a very lonely, without any disciples, a mystic living deep into mountains. Basu has sent few disciples to Sekito because he could see that they need a different kind of nourishment. With Basu, they will become enlightened. But just to be enlightened is not enough. To be enlightened and still remain unique needs a certain atmosphere, a different kind of air. This is something to be understood about Zen. In no other religion, one master sends his disciples to another master. Never. In all the religions of the world, every master is a competitor to another master. They are fighting for disciples. Because whoever has more disciples is a great master. It is sheer politics, politics of numbers. Although their game is religion, but hidden behind the word religion is pure politics. Sekito was very averse to disciples. Just to avoid them, he had went far away deep in the forest. But Basu could see in Tanaka some similarity, something that can fall in deep harmony with Sekito. There is no competition. It is not a question that you have more disciples. So you are great. Zen masters continuously sent people to other masters. That is a rare phenomenon, no competition. On the other hand, a deep understanding of the disciple. If Basso sees that somebody else can help Tanaka more than I can help, because he does not belong to the same kind of energy, then it is better not to prevent him and waste his time, but send him to the right man. Tanaka lived with Sekito 3 years, and finally returned to the Basso's temple, and before paying his respects to Basso, went into the monk's hall and climbed up unto the soldiers of a statue of Manjushri. Manjushri is one of the disciples of Gautam Buddha, the first disciple who became enlightened. Hence his status is just next to Gautam Buddha. The monk I have told you who became enlightened sitting under the tree and flowers soured and sours was no one but Manjushri. Now this was very strange of Tanaka. Coming back to the temple of Basso, where Manjushri's statue is worshipped. Basso loved Manjushri. Felt some synchronicity between himself and Manjushri. Tanaka went into the temple and climbed up unto the shoulders of Manjushri. The monks were astonished and went to tell Basso, who came down to the hall. He saw Tanaka and said, "My son Tenen, Tanaka climbed down from Manjushri's soldiers and made bows to Basso, saying, "Thank you, Master, for giving me my Dharma name." And thereafter he was called Tenen, meaning son of nature. Tanaka is another formation of Tenen. Rather than being angry with him, rather than being offended that what kind of nonsense you are doing, it is insulting to Manjushri and it is insulting to me, instead of saying that, he said, my son, Tenen. He has initiated him with such love, my son, and has also given him the name Tenen. Tanka climbed down from Manjushri's soldiers and made bows to Basu, saying, thank you, master, for giving me my dharma name. These kinds of anecdotes you will not find into any religious tradition around the world. What was the meaning of Tanka climbing up on the statue of Manjushri? He is declaring, without saying a single word, this gesture that I have reached higher than Manjushri. Do you recognize it or not? Basu has recognized. He said, my son, come down. You will be known as Tenen. To give the dharma name, the name of sannyas, is to accept the disciple . It was also Tanka who features in the story about using a wooden statue of Buddha to burn in a temple one night, by which to keep himself warm. The night was cold, and in Japan there are wooden statues . When the priest went to sleep, Tanka was just a guest, and the night was cold. He took one of the statues of Buddha and burnt it. Now, this is utter disrespect. By anyone, anywhere in the world, but not in the world of Zen. And you will see why. The priest was awakened, seeing in the temple there is fire. And when he reached, he could not believe his eyes. He was only a priest. He said, are you mad? You have burnt the statue of Buddha. Tanka took his staff . and started looking into the burnt ashes of the statue for something, the priest said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I am looking for the bones of Buddha." The priest said, "You are really mad. This is a wooden statue. Wooden statues don't have bones." Tanaka said, "You are a very intelligent man. You understood. Just bring another statue. The night is long and very cold, and you have so many statues." And rather than taking care of a living Buddha, you are bothering about a wooden Buddha. What do you want? A living Buddha should shiver in cold, and wooden Buddhas should sit on their thrones?" The priest thought that this man should not be left alone. He will burn. And those statues were very valuable. But now he has proved his point, that how can wood be a Buddha? You can carve it into a statue of a Buddha, still it is wood. Buddha is inside. He was saying to the priest, "Here I am, and you are preventing an awakened man from burning ordinary statues." The priest pushed him out of the temple and locked the temple door. Tanaka said many times that this is not right. You are not behaving as you should. He said, "I don't want to listen anything. Just get out. I cannot leave you alone in the temple inside. And I am going to sleep. I am not going to waste my whole life sitting, watching that you don't do any stupid thing." In the morning, when the priest opened the door of the temple, he said, "Certainly this man is mad." Because he was still sitting by the side of the road, where there was a milestone. He has plucked few wild flowers, and he has put those wild flowers on the milestone, and he was worshipping his morning meditation. He said, "In the night you burnt a Buddha, and in the morning you are worshipping a milestone. Have you any sense?" Tanaka opened his eyes and he said, "If wood can be Buddha, a stone can also be Buddha. It is just uncarved. Buddha is hidden. It needs a sculptor, and Buddha can be found. I can see Buddha is in this statue. The Buddha that I burnt in the night one day must have been just a wooden log, and some artist must have carved it. This is raw material. It can become Buddha. And the question is not because I am not concerned about the wood or the stone. I am concerned about Buddhahood, which is the nature of everything. I am Buddha, you are Buddha. In the night, a living Buddha burnt a dead Buddha. In the morning, a living Buddha is worshipping a dead Buddha. For the simple reason that this poor Buddha, nobody worships him. Out of compassion, at least to give him satisfaction, that one man recognized his innermost being. Further, it was noted about Tanaka that when he was 81 years old, he retired to his temple at Mount Tanaka in Hunan province. One day, 4 years later, he said to his disciples, "I am starting on my journey." He equipped himself with hat, leggings, socks, and staff, and put on a shoe before his foot hit the second, he was dead. Can you see the man? What a great man! He is going on the eternal journey, so he is getting ready. This is why Zen masters ask again and again that suggest some original way of dying. Now this is an original way. Equipping himself with hat, leggings, socks and a staff, and put on a shoe before his foot hit the ground, he had died. He has left everything behind. His consciousness has moved on the great pilgrimage. If you understand Tanaka, then it will be easy for you to understand his questioning, "Have you had your dinner?" He was not an ordinary man. Where are you from? He must have frightened the monk. He said, from the foot of the mountain. Tanaka said, have you had your dinner? Once he had asked before, the monk said, yes, I have had it. Tanaka said, is he open-eyed who brings food to a fellow like you and lets you eat it? The monk could make no reply. He is saying, have you been a disciple, a learner? Have you drunk from the sources of an awakened being? Have you eaten from the sources of truth and love and peace? Now, Secho's comment is, exhaust every means and you will not be blind. Once in a while, he comes with a right answer. Exhaust every means. Whatever you can do, do. And when you cannot do anything, you will find yourself. Make every effort. Exhaust all means. Because unless you exhaust all means, a lingering doubt will remain in your mind. Perhaps if I had gone on this way, I would have reached. So go on all the ways. Exhaust every possibility, eliminate every effort, come to a point where you can be effortless, where you don't know what to do. In this non-doing, in this let go, in this relaxation, you will find your own self blossoming in its immense glory and splendor. You hold the cow's head to let it graze. He is asking, do you hold the cow's head to let it graze? If the cow is there and the grass is there, the cow is going to graze, you just wait. You are there. Your longing to know yourself is there. Just wait. The four sevens the two threes, the following band have handed down the Dharma treasure, raising dust and trouble to make men drown on land. A beautiful statement. The four sevens are the seven patriarchs. The first was Mahakashyapa, and six others followed him in India. They are called four sevens. The two threes. In China, Bodhidharma was followed by another patriarch, those are the two threes. The first four are called sevens. Their height is measured that way. The two are called threes. They are great, but not the quality of Mahakashyapa. And the following band, after that, in Japan, hundreds of monks became enlightened. Now there is no question of numbers. It is called simply the following band. They have all the same experience of enlightenment. But still there are differences, and those differences are very minute and very delicate. For example, in a dark room, one candle, the room is full of light. Two candles, the room is full of light. Three candles, the room is full of light. Four candles, the room is full of light. You go on increasing candles, the room still is just full of light. What one candle can do will be done by 100 candles, nothing more. Because light may become more and more brighter, but its intrinsic quality of dispelling darkness is the same. Hence, I have said to you, just the taste of a single dewdrop, and you have known all the oceans. But Secho is, for the first time, making a very loving statement. the first four and the band following have handed down the Dharma treasure. They have been handing down the experience of truth, raising dust and trouble to make men drown on land. Naturally, this will explain to you why Jesus is crucified, why Socrates is poisoned, why Al-Hillaz Mansur is stoned to death. These people create trouble. I am condemned all over the world. You may understand, you may not understand, but 24 countries will not unnecessarily bother about a man who never leaves his room. Still, after 2 years, I left the jail. Their parliaments are discussing whether the law should be withdrawn or the law should be kept which prevents me to enter in their countries. Just 2 days before, the Parliament of Germany has decided to continue to keep the law. I am still alive. But what is the fear? These people, Secho says, create great trouble. First, they make everybody aware of their ignorance. That is a great trouble. You may have cancer, you are not aware of it, you are perfectly happy going fishing, but the doctor creates the trouble. He says, you have cancer and you don't have much more to live. Where are you going? Are you going still for fishing? Now the whole desire, the whole joy of going for fishing is finished. You return home with his sad face. It is not the cancer that has made your face sad, it is the doctor. When a Gautam Buddha arises, he creates so much trouble in so many people's minds, in so many people's families, in so many people's hearts. He is a troublemaker because he goes on telling to you, knocking on your doors, that you are fast asleep while if you wake up, you will find a great treasure hidden in you. All misery will disappear and all agony, ecstasy will be your rewards. Blessings will shower on you, but wake up. And anybody who wakes you up seems to be like an enemy, even in ordinary waking. Early in the morning, when the breeze is cool, and you would like to have another turn and hide yourself in the blankets, and somebody goes on pulling your leg, that get up, it is time for meditation. How do you feel? You feel like killing this man. And if you don't listen to him, he starts the dynamic meditation then and there in your room. Anyway, he won't allow you to sleep. Sacho is right. These people create so much dust, where everybody is so peaceful in his agony. Everybody is so happy with his troubles, where everybody is living in utter stupidity, but without any questioning, without any quest, these people come and they seek you. That what are you doing? You are not meant to do these things. This is not your destiny. This is not what you are keeping hidden within yourself. This is not the flower and the fragrance of your being. Naturally, the category of the Buddhas has always been condemned, poisoned, killed. Every effort has been made. Somehow, these people should go and do their dynamic meditation somewhere else. Why you disturb us? We are sleeping well. Although we are suffering from a nightmare and a migraine, but that is well acquainted. We have always suffered with migraine, so there is no problem in it. But these people say that you are talking about migraine. We are telling you to drop the mind itself. With the mind, the migraine will also go. Without mind you cannot have migraine. Nobody has been able to do it up to now. No mind and just migraine. But without migraine, it will look so lonely. It has been such a good friend, such an old acquaintance, always with you. Wherever you go, it used to follow like your own dog. And now somebody says, get rid of this dog. You cannot feel that it is possible. Nobody believes that a Buddha is possible. In the presence of a Buddha, one becomes enchanted. One becomes full of trust that certainly there is a possibility. A new opening of existence and a new experience of life. But as you go home, just on the way, one after another, doubts start arising. Perhaps that man has hypnotized you. Perhaps so many people listening so silently, you got caught in their silence. Alone, the migraine is back. Alone, the old doubts are back. People avoid just few days before. I had an infection in the ear, and Dr. Jog the best expert in Pune was called to see. He came. He could not believe that thousands of people with such a joyful, playful aliveness caring about the garden, meditating, or just sitting silently, doing all kinds of works, but without any anxiety. He told me, you will have to forgive me. I said, for what? He said, I had many times passed before the gate. The gate attracts, but the mind says, beware. Everybody inside is hypnotized. Your name is such that if I say anybody about your name, he looks at me as if I am a little bit crazy. Second day he brought his wife. Third day they came to listen. And he told me fourth day, that when I told people of my profession outside to other doctors, that our conception is absolutely wrong, you should go and see with your own eyes what is happening there, a great experiment in consciousness. It is so tangible, the silence is so expressive, and the bliss, you can almost feel it in the air, in the atmosphere. They all said to him, "Jog, you are lost." Don't go there again. You are hypnotized, we can see. And he told me that the people of my profession started avoiding me just because I have been treating your ear. And when he came with his wife, he asked me that my wife wants to see you alone for 5 minutes. I said, "Perfectly okay. And I am waiting." Both have disappeared. The wife, Jog, must have been afraid. That if the wife becomes too much interested in my caravan, then she is gone. And there are examples of people. Another doctor, Dr. Modi, has lost Zareen. Zareen is here. Dr. Modi is sitting alone in a vast house. A nice and good man, he comes to the ashram. And a man of understanding, he has not created any trouble for Zareen. She wanted to come to the ashram, he allowed her. And still he comes to the ashram. But everybody of his profession must be telling him, "Look, that is what happens. You have lost your wife. Why in the first place you have taken her there?" Whoever goes inside the gate somehow disappears. I do nothing at all, and parliaments in different countries are discussing for hours whether I should be allowed, and I have never asked them. I don't want to go anywhere. I have made it clear to everybody, don't be afraid. I am not coming anywhere, but who knows? They are keeping a law that I cannot even step on their airports. Entering the country is out of question. I cannot even step on the airport. What is the fear? Certainly, I must be creating some trouble in their mind. I am creating trouble. Their lives are settled, and whatever I say is going to unsettle their life. Nobody wants to be unsettled. Nobody wants to be left alone by the crowd. Such a fear exists that even my own centers Jayanti Bhai must be here. Yesterday he was. Ahmedabad center has asked that can we drop your name from the center's name, because your name creates trouble. It is my center, but because of my name, nobody wants to come there. So I told them, you drop my name, let people come. My name is not important, my message is important. Tanka has created the right silence. I will take Manisha's questions some other day. Today, there is just a little time for having a good belly laughter. We receive and welcome this silence with our laughter, and our laughter helps to open deeper doors of silence and mystery. A black man is having a conversation with God. Tell me, Lord, he says, how come I am so black? You are black, replies God, so that you can withstand the hot African sun. Tell me, Lord, continues the black man, how come my hair is so short and kinky? So that you will not sweat in the hot African climate, replies God. Tell me, Lord, implore the black man, how come my legs are so long? So that you can escape from the wild beasts that from the jungles of Africa, replies God. Then tell me, Lord, shouts the black man, what the hell am I doing in Chicago? Noah booms the voice of God. What? Shouts Noah, looking around. What do you want? You have got to take one of those elephants out and bring in another one. What for? Shouts Noah. Because, booms the voice, you have got two males and you need one male and one female. I am not bringing nothing in, shouts Noah. You can just change one of them. Come on, Noah, booms the voice. You know, I don't work like that. Well, I'm sick and tired, says Noah. I have had enough of this. I have been working for days. I'm through with it. Noah, asks the voice. Yeah, shouts back Noah. Noah, comes the voice. How far can you swim? Hamis McTavish goes salmon fishing, and at the end of a long day, he catches a tiny fish, not even big enough for one mouthful. Hamis is just about to kill the fish when it speaks to him. Hamis McTavish gurgles the fish. I am a magical fish. I will grant you 3 wishes. That's great, says Hamis, but continues the fish, because you are such a mean old Scotsman, remember, everything you ask for, your worst enemy, Fergus MacPherson, will get the double. Okay, agrees McTavish. I would like a fortune in gold. Done, gurgles the fish. But MacPherson gets the double, and continues Hamis, I would like a dozen beautiful women for my pleasure. Agreed, gurgles the fish, but MacPherson gets 2 dozen. Okay, says McTavish, grinning, and my last wish is for you to painlessly remove one of my balls. It is a closely guarded secret that the Vatican has a weekend resort for senior church members. The nuns who live in this special resort are sworn to silence, but they have worked out their own coded language. One weekend, the resort is graced by His Holiness Pope the Polar, along with a cardinal and a bishop. After dinner, the 3 men of the church retire to their rooms, where they are entertained by their hostesses. The following morning, at breakfast, Sister Margaret, who has been entertaining the bishop, picks up a piece of toast and with a great display butters it 4 times. Sister Gloria, who has spent the night entertaining the cardinal, takes her toast and with a satisfied smile butters it 5 times. Sister Teresa has spent the night in Pope the Pollock's room and looks a little pale and tired. Slowly she reaches for her toast. She takes some butter and spreads it 3 times. The other nuns start to giggle, but then Sister Teresa turns her toast over and butters it 3 times on the back.
Okay, nuns. Yes, Father.
Now close the eyes. Be absolutely still. No movement. Just gather all of your energy within. Now, let go. Okay, come back.